I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat. I got a special guest on my show. This man is the voice of Tampa Bay Radio. Yeah, I said it. The voice of Orlando in the Freak Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Orlando Davis.
What's happening?
How you doing, my brother?
I appreciate that intro, but I am not the... Another.
Yes, he is. I said it.
I'm one of a multitude that's lucky enough to do this for a business.
Nah, that's what's up, man. You know, I just appreciate your talent and everything you contribute to the game. You know, like I said, I lived in Tampa for 12 years. I came there about 2002, and then, you know, every time I turn on the radio, it's Orlando, Orlando. You know, you gotta get your music to Orlando. Orlando calls the shot. So it was just like, you know, I could appreciate, you know, your position of power. And your presence in that market, you know, and again, you know, I, as someone just on the outside looking in, just listening, you know, thank you for that.
I appreciate it. I mean, we were lucky enough to get in there where my ideas mattered, because it was people who brought us in to be that, you know, young, crazy, whatever. So they didn't really know. So they're like, bring in some people that could like just let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was one of those guys and I just stuck around. So, you know, wherever ideas can come, you know, to fruition, that's where we like to be.
That's what's up, man. I respect the humility behind, you know, everything you stand for. That's awesome, man. Like, you know, keep doing your thing, man. God is continuing to bless you.
Yeah, for sure. No, blessings are coming through, man. I mean, and for a lot of people in that, I mean, you've seen Tom and you know, and what he's doing now with the
Cool Dre.
Shout out to Tom G, man. Team Fetty.
Yeah.
Just, you know, what they're doing out there. I mean, and you know, our connection with Chris John and Fat Joe and Khaled and that whole Terror Squad, you know, family has brought Khaled into the fold, where now you see where he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll all be working for Assad one day.
Right. Oh.
Because he is the boss. But yeah, you know, just the interminglings of Tampa has like grown into different spots, and I'm proud of it. So, you know, I'm definitely saluting everybody in the Bay whenever I move and see you out here doing it. It's like, you know, I'm looking at you on the podcast and I'm like, you out here hustling, got the day job, but still keeping your heart in it, because, you know, this is the passion. And it's like, yo, so when I come through, I got to slide through.
Thank you for that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while since we got to kick it again, you know what I'm saying? But we finally made it happen, man. Yeah, man, you know, I like to instill that into people, because as far as, you know, keeping that 9-to-5, but still keeping the dream alive at the same time, because some people get discouraged and fall victim to being a product of their environment, or, you know, life happens or their circumstances just take over so much of their time that they let their dreams die. But it's like, you know, if you know how to manage your time accordingly, there's no limit to what you can do. And with the finances, I mean, that you're getting from your job, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and keep feeding it. I mean, if it's your dream, I tell people all the time, ain't nobody gonna treat your dream like you will. You know, when I get a chance to go to schools and I'm like, yo, like, how many of y'all told somebody what you wanted to do and they laughed at you?
Right.
And I'm like, just put your hand up. Everybody in the class put their hands up. And I'm like, that's because they wasn't ready for it. Like, they don't have to understand it. Like, you say, I'm going to be a doctor. They're like, if you can't pass chemistry. You know what I mean? But they laughing, but you know what you got to do to get there. So it's your dream. It's like, you can't, anybody going to treat it like you do. So I tell people all the time, it's like, you got that 9-to-5, and they're like, yeah, I do my music on the side. I'm like, don't put your head down.
Right.
Like, if it's your dream, you're going to run through walls for it, you know? So we lucky enough to be able to do that on the radio side. I see a lot of hustlers in music that's doing it. And some people just talented and lazy. And so they don't make it.
Right. What's that saying? Hard work beat talent, and talent don't work hard, or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hard work definitely pays off. And it's like, there's some people who don't have the talent but have the grind, and they stay in people's frontal lobe. And then there's other people who are just immensely talented and you try and push them through. But when you find that unique position, or whatever it is, music or business, and you have somebody with that hunger and that vibe and a little bit of the skill on it, then you're running into like above the rim.
Yeah.
Categories, you know, so we've been lucky to see some people blessed to come up.
That's what's up, man. So Orlando, tell me, man, was this your, what you're doing now, was that your first dream ever in life? Like, even as a youngster, like,
this was the dream before I knew it was, like, a thing. Like, I was like, man, I want to play music. I want to do something in that. I mean, it started as I want to rap. I want to sing. I want to do all these things.
You want the rap. What was your first rap name? I know you rap.
Man, come on. It was my Def Lanny D, boy.
Def Lanny D.
It's like Orlando, Def Lanny. All right. When I went to college, when I went to high school, there were people who were rapping in school and everything else. And I was in the choir, so there was always quartet singing, so I could sing and rap or whatever. And I always wanted to do something there. And coming from Gary, Indiana, everybody think you put you and four dudes on the stage, you're going to recreate Michael greatness. Yeah. So all of us pushed into a cousin's band at some point.
That's how that is.
Yeah, but I, you know, just being around it and stuff. And when I went to FAM my freshman year, I went to school with a man by the name of Rashid Lonnie Lynn. His name is Common.
Oh, wow.
And me and Common were freshmen together, and every talent show we would be in, and I mean, just rocking it. And he left school and went and made Can I Borrow a Dollar, and I interned at a radio station.
That's cool, man. So, what is the music scene like in Indiana you're from, right?
Yeah, I left there freshman year, you know, so at 18. But it's like, you see Freddie Gibbs, and you see, real artists that are coming through the Midwest. I mean, Chicago is just a couple blocks away from the South Side, so you got Chance and you know, the
Kanye whole from there and all that.
Yeah, I mean, just the soul of the Midwest is always going to be a part of it. I mean, I got a friend that just went home to Columbus, and she was talking about how, you know, the classics play. It's kind of like K-Day here. It's like, you know, if you turn on K-Day, you're going to hear a classic record. It's like in Chicago, it's like Sundays was always dedicated to the Dusties.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's how Kanye and you know, people like that in Rhyme Fest always had those samples that was rich, that Twista, you know, those samples that really meant something. It's because we grew up listening to the Sunday soul. It's like, you know, so that's why them soulful artists come, them Lupes and everything else. It's like Chicago got people by the walls when it comes to that soul.
Definitely.
You know, Midwest is there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what's up, man. So tell me about, you know, because you tell me that you graduated from FAM and then you did an intern at a radio station. But I want to talk about, you know, it was, I'm sure it wasn't a smooth road. There was some trials and tribulations.
Not at all, man.
Tell me about that, man. Nah. Like, how was it in the beginning, like, to where you got to solidify your position at?
I mean, pretty much, first of all, I never graduated. I went to FAM and started doing radio there with an internship. Business economics major, and thinking that I needed to work in the offices to like really like see what was popping, and so I got to learn everything in the office. And a market like Tallahassee, Florida, is a small market. It's 167 on the medium market, so it's really small, as opposed to, you know, LA being number two. You know, it's like this is small time. So
what's number one, if you don't mind me asking?
New York City.
New York? Okay.
Yeah, then you got Chicago. You got, you know, Philly. And San Fran. But you know, it's like it moves down based off of population. And in that market, you do so many things because, you know, you wear a lot of hats. So I'm the intern, but I'm able to do everything. So they sell the station, and a new owner walks in. He's like, "You the receptionist?" I'm like, "Yes, sir. What can I get for you?" I'm giving him reports, and he's like, "All right, this dude's cool." He's like, "You got kind of a deep voice to be a receptionist, but okay."
Yeah.
So he's back there doing all these one-on-one meetings, like, "Hey, my name is so-and-so. I do the commercials. I take them here. I give them to Orlando." It's like, "All right, you talk to the sales guy. I pull the reports. The pro reports Orlando gives me at 8:30. I go through them. By 5 o'clock, we have them closed out." He's like, "Who's this Orlando dude?" He's like, "That's the dude you met up front. They gave you the coffee and the files." He's like, "Well, hold on." And he walked down the hall and said, "You're Orlando?" I'm like, "Yes, sir. You need more coffee?" He's like, "No, I don't know what you want to do. Because apparently you're doing everybody's job back there. So I need to hire you." I was like, "I'm working hourly." He's like, "All right, can you do this job for me?" And that's how my radio career got started.
And what was the job that he assigned you to?
He gave me nights 7 to 12. Because he was like, "You know, I hear you do weekends." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I want you to do that. But I want you to helm my music department because I don't have a music director." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll babysit." And I'm like, "I answer the phones. I know all the reps."
Yeah.
So he gave me the music director position, and 6 months later, he made it official.
That's what's up. Congrats on that, man.
Yeah, so.
And what station was this?
That was Tallahassee. That was Star 101.5. That was WXSR.
Yeah. Okay, so that's when you made the transition to Tampa, or what? Did you do all
this? Came to Tampa after that station worked, and then it started to kind of flounder, so they changed it to an alternative station.
Okay.
And the PD was like, "You know, I want you to stay on if you want to." And I'm like, "Yo, I love it." So I learned alternative, which wasn't really hard to learn. But yeah. Some smart people that I know who do rock music was like, yo, it's really just radio. So we kept doing that, and a station blew up. And I ended up like staying in Tampa for a while. And then 98, when Wild Thing was playing in Tampa over and over and over again, they was building this station. And people who I knew in Tampa was like, yo, you need to reach out. And it just so happened that the dude who was my boss in Tallahassee was there with the people launching the station. He's like, there's this kid that is in Tallahassee that is all over the clubs, that is crazy, and that is like, it will show up at work at 9 o'clock. And so they called me and I came down.
That's what's up, man. So when you came in, you started as a PD, or you kind of worked your way
out? My father, bless his soul, always told me that. He's like, man, you really don't want to have like children and stuff like that when you're making those moves, those life moves. Mm-hmm. Like when you get that call where they're like, yo, can you come to this side of the country and we'll pay you a lot of money, but it ain't hot, but it's a good investment.
Yeah.
And you have to make those decisions. And it's hard to do that with a wife or, you know, with responsibilities.
Right.
And they, when I moved to Tampa, it was for backwards move. I was PD in Tallahassee. I had worked my way up to program director. And when I moved to Tampa, it was for music director, but there was no PD at the time. So it was just really me coming in, knowing I had the afternoon job.
Yeah.
You know, where Buckwheat is now. Mm-hmm. Knowing I had that in my pocket, but I ain't have guaranteed on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making less money. And so my pops was like, you making a backwards move for a bigger thing. He's like, I'm proud of you, because a lot of people can't do that.
That's good. Yeah, you saw the greater goal where it can lead to.
It just knowing that, again, there was a time when I used to listen to radio where I didn't understand that was a job. I didn't understand you could go to school for it and that people studied it. I just, you know, thought people was just lucky enough to be on the radio. So, you know, when I'm listening to Tom Joyner when I'm growing up and Dan and, you know, Doug Banks and just, you know, icons, you know, I'm just like, yo, how do they get that job? So falling into it, doing an internship, it's like I tell people all the time, it's unfettered access. You get to steal from major companies. You get to steal information. Like, it's like, you know, I tell people all the time when I talk at schools, I'm like, if you took a duffel bag in the bank and you could shovel all this money in there and everybody said it was cool, would you do it? Like the courts, your mama, your pastor, who everybody said it was cool. Would you swoop out that money? Like, oh yeah, hands down, all day.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you do an internship, you got unfettered access to a multi-million-dollar company. Like, you can't, there's people who can't get past the receptionist.
Right.
But you an intern, beep, you click your key card, you run around, you pushing buttons, you learn in the business. And that's what I was able to do. So it put me kind of in the space where when I came in, I was like, the new boss started and he's like, why you didn't want the job? I'm like, I didn't want you to inherit me.
Right.
I want you to see what I do. And then you can offer me the job.
I want to earn your spot.
You know, and so we ended up like a couple months after he got there. He's like, yo, dude, like, let's just make this official. Can you sign this contract? And we've been lucky ever since.
That's what's up, man. That's a great story, man. It sounds like you're destined to do what it is you were set out to do from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was already laid out for you. You just had to go through the journey. You know what I'm saying? And it's weird how life takes you through those, you know, ups, that roller coaster to get you where you need to be.
Where you're supposed to be is your path. You just don't know. You couldn't tell me where I was going to end up and how it was going to all play in the music. Remember, I wanted to be in music.
Mm-hmm.
And being in music doesn't mean I have to be up on stage.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like the fact that I've helped artists that have taken off and had their career flourish and stuff. And I'm like, yo, that person, you know, is able to say, hey, that's my man. He hooked it up. You know, when they didn't have, Khaled's like, when 05, when he was like, when I'm saying we the best, people was laughing at me.
Yeah.
And now he rolls out a project, you know, like Father of Facade. It is the best. You hear these records?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's killing.
Executive produced by his son who was just born?
Hey, you know what I mean?
How did that happen?
Like, come on. He's an icon. You know, but I'm saying, like, when he was just starting, or when he had a Rick Ross, you know, it's like when I talk to Kool and Dre and they're like, listen, man, the way Tom G's project is coming together, we want to make sure that his hometown, that his home backers are a part of it. And he's like, the same way we started with Ross. And every call, Khaled was on every call, like making sure, like, hey, we got to add this for radio. Hey, make sure we don't forget this. And like, look, we want you on those calls. And I'm like, I have nothing to offer Tom this is greatness as an MC, but as a big homie, you know, I could say, hey, I think if y'all did this, that would be a smart thing. You know, it's just, like I said, being a part of it is kind of like wherever God destined you to be, you'll get there. You just don't need to tell them how to drive.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. And I'm super proud of Tom G, man. Like, when I first got to Tampa, I think City Boy had just dropped.
Yeah.
And it was a wave. And just to see how 10 years later, you know, the little Duval jumping on in and right. bringing it back, it just sheds a light on that saying, stay down till you come up. You know what I'm saying? And it was just, I'm just so happy for him just to see it flourish. And he stayed real, you know, Tampa, 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 all day, all day, all day. And he's like what Nipsey was to L.A.,
I mean, there's some similarities there because, I mean, when you look at Nip and, you know, Marathon Continues, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to.
Salute.
I had to make sure.
He lived in this building.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Top floor.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Nip, I was here, you know, when we linked up, we were supposed to link up last time I was here in L.A., and I was staying at the hotel out by the IKEA building. And you know, like, there's a legality of the land here in L.A. where you can walk into these shops and get these things.
Yeah.
You know, and just, like, you know, unease your mind. But, you know, you don't have access at the hotel. So I'm sitting on the hood of my rental car across from IKEA. And my man, Just Incredible, is playing. The L.A. Leakers are playing. Big shout out to Sour Milk. Incredible. Shout out to Just Incredible. They're playing Racks in the Middle.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, and this is the first time I've really been in Cali where I could just, like, vibe out and not really have a conversation. So I'm just in the minute. And I'm listening to this song. Roddy Ricch is just, you know, singing the hook and everything. And then Nip comes in with the verses. And I'm just like, yo, when I was out here way back up in Smoke days, and, you know, Dre and Snoop were the ones, and Easy had his wave. And, you know, like, L.A. was, you know, everything else, the Ice Cube and everything else. This was almost like a baton going to Nipsey. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, he's just ringing out. And it's like the drop came on from Nipsey and everything else. And I'm like, yo, he is really, like, grinded his way into being, like, that guy for the West Coast. And for somebody who was outside, it just clicked on me. And I text Justin. I'm like, yo, man, y'all got Nipsey out here in the air. Like, this is so West Coast.
Yeah.
Because I used to tell people all the time, like, JD, I used to tell my land, and it's like, you know, it's different when you land at LAX and you turn on the radio and you hear those West Coast records. It's kind of the same way they feel when they come to Tampa and they'll hear Plies or they'll hear, you know, a City Boy with it, or they'll hear something like that. But it's just like Nipsey really had, like, that position. And to look at kind of the correlation between what Tom has been able to do, he's been able to stay current but also change with the game, because that Challenge God thing that he started doing, spitting over people's rhymes. Then you start seeing the artists who originally did it, like, co-signing on under the thing. It started to really, really pop off. And and that's what got the attention of, you know, the folks of Kool & Dre. You know what I mean? I'm tagging them on mine and reposting them, and they seeing it. And so they ended up linking up and everything. And then, you know, moving into the Roc Nation situation with Kool & Dre and Roc Nation. So there's a marriage there. So that kind of hustle, but him also being old enough to realize, like, yo, I ain't out here trying to buy everything that blings, or I ain't trying, you know, I got a family and everything else, puts it really in, like, Nip's understanding. Because Nip, you know, I mean,
you're still a business, the same things.
You're a business guy. I mean, you understand money movement, and everything he was rapping about was the things that you want to hear students rapping about.
Right,
you want to hear kids being told that. It's kind of those things where you want to give people the roses while they were alive. Mm-hmm. It's like Nipsey should have heard all of the things that people are saying about him and his business prowess and everything while he was here.
Right.
Because that would have motivated him even more. Like, oh, so y'all listening to me?
Oh,
I'm like, really? I'm on to something?
Really turned up.
I knew I was on to something, but y'all really? Okay, well, all right. Well, now I got a seat at the table. And, you know, so, you know, he inspired a lot of people, and he linked up with the Jays and everything in the world, with Roc Nation and everything, the Khaled's and stuff. So, you know, his family is straight. But, you know, I think the marathon continues as far as people learning how to grind and how to make sure that they get some sort of worth, you know, some land. I mean,
ownership.
Grandparents are always laughed at, but my granddad always said, they ain't making no more dirt.
Right.
He's like, you know what I'm saying? You can buy your little cars. They make a new one every year, but they ain't making no more of this dirt.
Yeah.
You better buy you some dirt.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Limited stuff.
Why do you think that is, though? You know, because I had the same kind of that interview right before you, and we had that conversation of, you know, giving the people their roses while they could smell them. You know what I'm saying? Why do you think not too many people do that? Like, they wait till the person's gone for some reason.
I mean, because you start to look at somebody honestly when they're gone, and because you realize you don't have them no more, so you kind of like assess what they felt to you, and you know what they meant to you. But I also think that you know, it's kind of a story that's close to LA, because our back when you were living in Tampa, we had a music director by the name of Beata.
Mm-hmm.
Beata was the, you know, person who started the bidding war with T-Pain. This was our time Sprung hit in Tampa, and she started calling Def Jam and letting Jive know, and they started fighting it out. And when the smoke cleared, he ended up with Jive, and Jive also ended up hiring Beata.
Ooh.
And she moved to LA and ended up the rep out here for Jive for a long time. And then Julie Pilot left Kiss, and Beata was the heir apparent. Now Beata is running Kiss right now.
Wow.
And just a girl from Seminole, you know, used to work at Carrabba's, you know what I'm saying? Came in, hustled, and learned everything she could, and is now, like, you know, I mean, a family and everything else, you know. But when you look at that, you know, people always say give them their roses while they're alive, but when I let her go to Jive or encouraged her to move and do all this stuff, a lot of big executives at our company was like, you know, what are we doing? Like, we're just like schooling them and then just like let them go, like everything. And then I was like, what am I supposed to do? Like, leave them under my thumb?
Yeah.
Like, watching her take off, like, I'm, yo, yeah, like, I'm a surprise thing, you know? So I think a lot of people don't give you your roses because they really gotta, you know, somebody gonna flip it and say, well, so I'm so great, man, let's talk raise.
Right.
Let's talk, you know, it's a lot of those things you don't necessarily, you don't really want to hear those kind of things. So it's kind of like maybe people a little bit questionable, like, on how, when they give you your roses or whatever, everything else, and they know it, and ain't no bounce back when you're in the grave.
Right. Hey.
You know, so it's sad, but it's true. So that's probably it.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes, man. You know, like you said, man, some people don't really appreciate those around them until they're gone, because they don't have them no more. And then that's when all the feelings come out. And,
yeah,
you know. It'd be like that sometimes, man. But, okay. So so tell me, what do you think the future holds for Juke Music? Since you, you know, represent Tampa, you know, you've seen the growth of it. And, you know, do you think it's going to stay where it's at, or will it ever...
I mean,
not global.
It's always a feel. I mean, because the music we had in Tampa, which was considered the juke sound, that was the cowbell, the down, you know, the beat and everything else. That ended up being something that, like, the kind of little bit close to the kind of Bay Area thing that was going on with Sage the Gemini. It was really like duplicated with the New Boys, you know, with that jerk. I'm so cocky with it. I mean, that was. You know, that was all like that juke sound too. So it's had a lot of different, you know, names and whatever. But I don't know if juke is going to necessarily be something. But there's a wave coming out of the South, you know, that's really, you know, like, major. And it's not just the ladies. I mean, you got Carl Crawford, who made a lot of money moving from the Rays to the Dodgers. And then now he's in the rap game with Megan Thee Stallion. You know, and it's like, and he's out there signing cats. And it's like, you looking at that, or you look at the fact that P and Coach K with QC. I mean, just... You know, I mean, I'm just at the Capitol building and I'm seeing this big flag with a QC on it at the top of the Capitol building. And I just had to like tag him and say, yo, you out here flagging like crazy. Like, who, the dude who did, you know, prison time from 14 to 20 is now running the biggest, you know, new label with Lil Baby, with Migos, with Car. I mean, the whole collective, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, salute the whole team. I mean, Quality Control is definitely making moves. So, you know, Lil Baby, who didn't want to rap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, they was like, nah, dog, for real. Like, we could really do this. And, like, made him do it. And now he's, you know, set.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot of great music coming out of the South. And, you know, that's a major look for us. It's a different sound. It don't discredit what's going on out here in the West, though, because, I mean, it's something that's real major. That Roddy Ricch thing is just, he's on a few records that ain't really radio.
Yeah.
But, like, if you look into him on the streams or on that, I mean, he's major. He's kind of got that new wave of that Akon kind of thing, because Akon was doing hooks so much they start calling him the Black Phil Collins for a while.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that Roddy Ricch is one to look for.
That's what's up, man. I mess with Roddy, man. So now, but you brought up a good point. You said, you know, he make records not really for radio, but if you check his streams, his numbers is popping. So with that being said, how important do you think radio is to a new artist's or any artist's career? You know, do you think it matters to, or should it just depend on streams?
I mean, it doesn't matter until they get smart.
Explain.
An artist that is just getting in the game and it's just like, I'm streaming, I'm popping, I'm getting a check, you know, then they're just hustling. They're just seeing the hand over fist. They're just seeing the exchange. When they get smart or they get people who are around them, they realize that when radio comes to the table, your streaming and everything else is magnified. It's almost like you performed at the Super Bowl or something. So artists that were really happy with their streaming situation then get radio and kind of play it back. And this is funny because we had this conversation that the finishing school that the Motowns had to teach people how to accept interviews and teach them how to do stuff, because, you know, Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye, all the people hadn't been nowhere before but Detroit.
Right.
So they didn't know, but they had a finishing school that was there. And Chuck D always said hip hop needed that. And it needs it more now, because now you got kids going YouTube video directly into content, and then now they're in on Entertainment Tonight and TMZ.
Yeah, so they
probably going to do something stupid.
Right.
So now you got kids who are like, you know, they come in and they really don't think radio is the move. But then when they record, you know, deserves to get on the radio, it gets on the radio and they see that streaming number quadruple, and they're like, what happened? They're like, oh, radio put you in. They're like, oh, what radio need me to do? It's like, nah, you kind of blew that one. But so when they get smart and they get a little bit more knowledge of it, they realize radio is a part of it. Now, that don't mean that everybody who's watching this needs to do like they do in Tampa and run down and put the CD in your under your windshield thing and scratch your car or all that.
I'm sorry.
There's a whole bunch of them, you know what I mean? And now it's like, you know, people tag you on socials and they're like, yo, my cousin is dope. What's up? And play him. And they really think that, but radio is literally the last piece, because we find you when you popping. We look at streaming. I look at the top 400 records that stream every Monday. I sit there, look at a report to see what's popping, and Shazam numbers and everything else, where people are like, you know, checking records that they didn't know. And I mean, we have a lot of like 10 different things that we look at to see what's popping in our city, in addition to reports from our research department that go out to the clubs and like, yo, they played this, it was a 10. Like, everybody was with it. And then, you know, though, this one, everybody went and got a drink, you know. So I mean, we look at all of that information, and that's how radio comes to us. You got to have a wave before radio comes. Just the days of, we talk about the Jacksons, the days of just singing and walking in a conference room, that ain't it. Now they want to see there's a market for what you do. There's people out there checking for what you do. That's how Megan Thee Stallion got on. That's how, you know, Nipsey grinded it out. I mean, he said it in his lyrics. He did it without radio. Now, when radio came around, he was able to buy the block else, but he was able to eat comfortably without radio, you know. So radio does add a piece to it that just magnifies it by 5 or 6 times.
So let me ask you a question. So now that you just shared that you're looking at this paperwork and all this statistics and analytics to find the new songs out, what you decide to play, what advice can you give to the new artists who are not on these playlists that are just coming with the CDs and trying to get your attention that way? Like, is that method a waste of time, you would think?
No, it's not. I mean, they need to grind it out and get that work done. It's the same way if you were selling a mixtape and you was out on the street selling the tape.
Yeah.
You got to get that work out and let people start hearing it. Because, like, Russell Simmons called it the power of the zero. He said, Ludacris got signed to Def Jam South.
Okay.
Originally by Scarface. Scarface was the president of Def Jam South. Mm-hmm. He signed Luda. And he signed him because he had this CD called Incognito. And he was selling 200,000 units out of his trunk in Atlanta. And so when he added some songs to it and added a little bit more meat to it, they named it Back for the first time. Back from Incognito, but it's my second CD, but it's the first major CD release.
Yeah.
And they said, when they signed him, they said, it's the power to zero. They said, we know if he's making $200,000, he's buying copies and we're seeing the receipts and he's reordering because he's like moving 200,000 units. We know if we add the Def Jam imprint, the end caps at the record store, the video department, the all the sponsored stuff.
We polished them up a bit.
Polish this whole thing up. We can add a zero to that and know we'll make our money, you know, well. So it's the power of the zero. Show me what that you working with. I don't care if you moving 100 CDs a week. Show me, yo, consistently, I'm selling 100 a week. At least I know there's 100 people out there who are rocking with what you do. Mm. You know, so you got to show people that there's a worth in what you do before you walk in and stomp your feet and say, oh, I need to be on. It's like, well, let us know.
Yeah.
If you ain't on these metrics, then what metrics are you on?
That's a fact, man. Yes, I guess you gotta prove your worth. You know,
you do. You do. I mean, now the ear is something too. I mean, but it's just, if I like something and my ear likes something, I play it, you know, but I ain't going to be able to get behind it if it doesn't have the rest of the stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and I have major labels that are trying. We don't have local music slots. So if somebody's trying to get a record on, they're competing against the new Baby, you know, the Baby and Lil Baby record, you know, or the Leighton Green or, you know, any of that, they're competing against those. They're competing against the Rick Ross records and the new Drake album. And, you know, that's their competition.
Right.
So that's it. You watch what you ask for.
Right. So do you have any, as a program director, do you have any control on what's being played, or do you kind of get the list, or you the one that give out the list?
I'm the one that makes the list. Every Monday we look at research. Every Monday we look at music. We started doing that on Instagram. And just every Monday when we sit and listen to the new records, I just go on live, or either I like record the story, and it's just because I ask people like, hey, poll this, what do you think of this record? You know, there was a record that that came on there, a Lil Jon record called Taco Tuesday, and it was a garbage record, and I'm saying garbage with respect. I'm not saying I hate when people say records are trash because the artist
made it. Takes nothing away from you.
Yeah, no, it was when I listened to it, I was like, there's no way this record is gonna play.
Right.
But the response to people like saying, yo, but I love me some tacos on Tuesday, and getting all those messages, I was like, yo, this might be funny to play since tomorrow is Tuesday. Played it on the air, and people have been calling us like, yo, can you play the taco song? It's Tuesday. You know, now it ain't a record that you're going to hear every day. But I'm like, I really expect John to sell that to Chipotle or somebody.
Somebody.
And somebody going to buy Del Taco, or somebody's going to buy that, and it's going to be on a commercial, and he going to mess around and make a bag.
Off
some record that just didn't make sense. So I'm never saying that, you know, like, it ain't just the metric. Nothing in the metrics made me play it. I just heard it, and then I saw the response. I was like, this is... It, they always say, you know, like, whether you like it or love it, you felt something. Mm-hmm. It moved you to feel something. So if it's getting a lot of response, then that's it. You know, I can't, you know, I saw that, and that was the evidence for me trying it. Now, most people who walk in with a record are like, well, just play it and see what the people say. I'm like, well, that's a gamble.
Yeah.
I'd rather play it online and let people like, yo, play that again. And I'm like, all right, at least I got something in your corner.
Right.
So, yeah. So shout out to Taco Tuesday, a Lil Jon. I think they're delivering like 400 tacos tonight to the party. So
that's what's up, man. So how do artists get their music to you and on that Monday boardroom meeting? Like how can they get their music?
I mean, that Monday meeting is really like major releases.
Oh, major releases.
But I mean, but I mean, it's the music director who's in there, and she gets everything else. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to submit music can go to wild941.com because there's a submission like page there or whatever, or either they just DM me or whatever, like most people do. And I get a chance to see it, but it's just, when it's DM, it just really feels like it's ahead of the curve. Like, get out there, get your name out. Like, send me a video of you performing it and 500 people singing every word. You know, those are the things. Like, when Chance dropped, I was like, this is too weird for the room. I don't get it. And the management was like, really? And I was like, yo, this is goofy. Like, this dude's goofy.
Yeah, and they're
like, well, we're doing this concert in Chicago, and we were inviting everybody who don't really, I mean, they invited the supporters, but all of us that was on the fence. And I got there, and he had these life-size puppets on stage performing, and it was weird. And then I saw 80,000 people singing along every word, and I'm standing there like, yo, this is something.
Yeah.
And so they were like, how you feel? I'm like, I feel like I've been in the dark. Like, who, Chance, what? And and that started our relationship with Chance, and then he came to town, killed it. The headline, the last damn show, killed it. And just, you're able to learn. Like, school me on your stuff. Don't just hand me your song. Like, what did I say earlier? Your dream. Nobody treats your dream like you do.
That's a fact.
So don't hand it to me and walk away and be like, oh, Orlando got it. It's it's your dream.
It's my chance. About it's to pop your dream.
Like, show me that, you know, like, show me that room with 30 or 40 people doing it. Not that all, they ain't all your cousins or something like that, you know? Yeah, that's it.
That's what's up, man. That's good advice right there, man. So it seems like you're, you know, you're like a workaholic in radio and music. You know, you're everywhere and they never there. Tell me, what does Orlando do to unwind, man? What do you do to just chill, relax? And,
I don't have too much chill time. I'm trying to write a little more.
Right.
I have some screenplay. The book. Oh. Everybody keeps joking me about the book, and I'm like, I should. I really should. No, but there's a screenplay that I'm really interested in doing. Like, there's a screenplay that I've had an idea for. Two of them, and one of them I just started cultivating, and I just started really looking at script development and how to lay it out in a script way. Mm-hmm. And as the pages come, I keep sending it to my Hollywood friends to just say, hey, how does this look? You know, so that's like what I do to unwind. And other than that, just like watch my daughters, because like they're growing 10 and 12. And I'm like, yo, like I still feel like me. But then I see little me's like getting that. Like they roasted me the other day. They saw we were watching Coming to America.
Uh-huh.
And the Soul Glow thing came on. And they just thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I had to remind them, yo, your dad got a freshman pitcher.
Yeah.
That's very Miami Vice and dripped curlish. I showed them the picture and they roasted me for 10 minutes. And I'm like, yo, these are my baby girls. And they're like, daddy, did you... And I'm like, yo, what's up? They're like, daddy, you would drip too hard. Like just roasting me. And
you know,
I'm like,
yeah, I can ground you.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, but like I'm really seeing them as personalities now. So, yeah. So that's a good unwind too.
That's cool, man.
And poker. I love poker.
Oh yeah? That's what's up, man. I'm a roulette man. I like roulette more than anything.
Roulette and craps, that's like, honestly, that's scary to me. Like I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, yo, it's too loud over here. I'm gonna go to the blackjack or to the poker room, but they be like, nah, the point. But I'm like, nah,
baby, blow these dice. Baby, blow these dice.
No, just if I'm gonna calm down, I just like to play some Texas Hold'em.
So, that's what's up. I gotta get back on that myself, man. Poker's where it's at. But that's cool, man. I'm glad they. Are your daughters into music at all? They got their own path.
They're in the dance. Okay. They love dance, and my youngest daughter is dabbling and acting and stuff. So any of that, they love it. But dance is their big thing.
Mm.
They dance a lot of hours a day, and I swoop them when I'm coming from the studio. So they put in the work. So as long as their schoolwork stays up, and they keep killing it in dance, man, they love it.
That's what's up, man. I'm glad to hear that, man. What do you think about the Loud on 7 festival that's coming up with Buckwheat and H?
I mean, they've been working hard on it. I haven't, like, dove into it because, I mean, it's not like a wild production. It's literally on the back of H and Buck and their collective. But I think bringing attention to Ybor is a great look because, I mean, I remember when we had Super Bowls and I would see Latifah after and she'd be like, man, I got to get back to Tampa because that Y-Boy that y'all got.
Y-Boy,
And I'm like, me, Y-Boy, she's like, I just loved it. And so people always kind of liken it to the French Quarter, you know, and everything else. But I just think it's a vibe there. And
it reminds me of Bourbon Street.
It does. I mean, it's like, and if people can come in and kind of like really like wild out and enjoy some good music and kind of bring that culture back to the Y-Boy
and blackout drunk,
you know, it's all good. So salute H and Buck for doing that for the culture.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's something that Tampa needed as far as the music scene to shed light on it, to take it to the next level, you know. Yeah. With these big festivals that happen, like Coachella and stuff like that, I see Loud on 7, you know, ultimately getting to that level.
It could get to that. I mean, you know, you see Austin and you see, like, you know, the South by Southwest. You know, and everything they do on 6, you know, and everything there. So, I mean, you know, you definitely got, Ybor got something to show.
Definitely.
And I think that the artists that come in and can highlight, you know, if people can collab up with them and do some stuff, I think that would be incredible.
Yeah, no, I definitely see it. And shout out to you guys, man. You guys are doing great things. So tell me, man, do you have an exit strategy with what you're doing now with being a program director, or is this something you want to retire doing?
I mean, I don't have an exit strategy. I mean, I have the opportunity to move up to some other stations, and I passed on those just because I'm happy in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I like it, and I kind of feel like when it becomes a job, you know, then I wouldn't like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But labels have kind of started talking to me as well, because they're like, how long do you want to do this? Do you want to move to a label thing? And who knows? I mean, right now I'm just really happy in the job, so I'm focusing on that. But I think if I wanted to, I can go work at a label.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that in the future?
Honestly, the way labels are going, I don't really see it as necessary. I mean, because people who are signing now, you get a great comfort with labels, but you can also do it like a Chance or do it, you know, on a smaller level. And then when your larger projects get on, then you just do deals with the labels. I mean, somebody like Marshmello now, he has a deal where he makes records and he decides what label puts it out. Mm. He just does single deals and everything else. It's like, it's just a difference. It's the wild, wild west when it comes to records. But I just like the creative process. So I don't know where that'll go with artists. Maybe it'll be an A&R thing. Maybe it'll be putting people together to get showcased, to get deals, or who knows. But it's always going to be a part of that creative, because like I said, you always stumble your way to where your path is supposed to be. I wasn't really supposed to be here in music, and I stumbled my way to it, so we'll see. But radio is really my only focus right now. I'm doing a little bit more TV, just because it works hand in hand with that. But it's always radio.
What are you doing on TV?
I did ABC Action News a couple weeks ago, and
like they want to
do more. No. I hosted their morning TV show.
Oh, okay.
They have one of the anchors, Carly Boyette, who had a baby, and so she's been out on maternity leave. So they've been using other people to come in. And
you're one of them. Let me find out and see on Good Morning America one day.
Brian Gumbel. No. It's all good. It's just, but it's all in promotion of the station. The station is the thing. And I mean, we're in a lucky space. We're definitely necessary. I tell people the word that you want to be is necessary. And I think, you know, from what we do for locals, what we do for hip hop, for just the soundtrack of Tampa, you know, it's a good look. And, you know, and then the wild splashes, like we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. stuff, you know, like whatever. Like right now we do a Beat the Bomb, where we just giving people money and everything else. And it's like every station does it, but Wild lives on that island by themselves. We're not R&B, we're not Top 40, we're just a space, and look, people been rocking with us.
Yeah. I definitely been right. I still listen even from out here, man.
Yeah, the stream is popping. Yeah, the stream is popping.
That's what it is, man. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, man.
Man, I had told you I was coming to the West. I was like, yo, we got to sit down. So, definitely. You know, you keep doing it and keep, you know, showing the world through your lens, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, man. I truly appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you. You know what I'm saying? And I hope we could do some other work in the future, you know, aside from music, you know, maybe on a business level. You know, I told you everything about what I do. So hopefully we could build on that.
For sure.
And let the people know where they could follow you and stream the station.
Man, stream the station, please. Wild 94.1. That's our app. You get everything, you know, you get to know the show, because I do a show with some a cast of characters who are crazy. Mm-hmm. You got Dobby and Meredith and Mark.
Dobby Rolando, that's my boy. Shout out to him, man.
Yo, he just got a record that he dropped too, Bottle Girls.
He rapping?
Yo, no, he helmed the whole thing. Oh, okay. Because you watch a Khaled, you're like, yo, I could do that.
Yeah, I'm a producer now, because I said something.
Oh, he's saying, yo, he was in the studio going hard for it. So, you know, he's got, you know, all the guys, Young Dredd on the record. He's got Tom G. He's got Tampa Tony on the record. So
I think they out here. Dredd, I know, Richie West. They out here.
Yo, they be on the road. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, because when we first talked to them, I told people to get on their grind. And they was like, what do you think grind? What are you telling us? I'm like, don't just be married home. They took that with all of the money they had, and they hit the road. And they like, they showed, you know, and they learned a lot while they went. Because every time they came, it was like a three-man weave in basketball. Every time they came across through Tampa, you saw them get better. And they would go back out, and they would come back. And then they grinded. And so to see them succeed and to get this wave that they're getting is just like a testimony to say, yo, they paid attention and they did it right. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Dobby. Bottle Girls is out there streaming. I saw the ladies in Houston loving it. So Wild 94.1 is the app, and that's the whole thing. And you can also catch me on IG. I'm Orlando Davis, just how it spells, and get at us.
There you go, man. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, Mr. Orlando Davis, the voice of Tampa Radio. Like, cause I said it now. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. Have a good night. Inca.